Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Across the Park podcast. What a week it's been for Everton FC. Can't wait to get into this podcast. I've been itching to get in and talk about it. But it's been, as I say, it's been a magnificent week. It's been 9 points, it's been five goals, none conceded, and, you know, a huge lift for the club to finally stave off relegation for another year. And we'll be talking about the last two games that have happened since the last time myself and Colin were in the studio recording, which was the brilliant Merseyside derby win against Liverpool and the 1-0 win over the weekend against Brentford. So again, absolutely delighted to be joining you all in such a positive mood. I think we recorded a week or so ago, Colin, and I was having to lift a few of the younger blues up. Don't think I'll have to do that today. So that's great. Again, massive thanks to our partners, the Pod Cafe. We're recording, as always, from the marvellous studios down here in the Baltic Quarter. Thank you to our long-term sponsors who you'd have seen in the intro at the start, Globe Heating and Gas. And again, thank you to Tick Property Group, who we'll have an advert from in a few minutes' time. So, Col, again, thank you. Welcome. Yeah,
no problem. Pleasure and, as always.
It's been a brilliant week for the club, brilliant week for the players. We spoke off air about, you know, the difference in the tone and I guess the manner of the posts from the players on social media, and they're all talking about, you know, the words such as we done it. You know, everyone was against us, our backs against the wall. They all refer to, like, the points deductions in there and what they've had to fight against. But, you know, there certainly seems to be a unity around the way they're feeling about finally, you know, beating the drop. So, yeah, your feelings, first of all.
I think just, you know, resembles, you know, the way you're feeling about the whole situation and the players as well. But it's been... Look, we've rolled our luck a little bit throughout the week, but you know, I think it evens itself out, as we said the other week, across the course of the season. I was quite optimistic about the fixtures coming up with being home form. And I just had something in the back of my mind, the way he was setting them up. We got some clarity on what the points were. We knew we had this run in of home games, but it was the Chelsea fixture that put me in a bit of doubt. But, you know, fair play to him and fair play to the players, the squads, you know, everyone involved. They've absolutely smashed it this last week. You know, and in each of those three games, I think the Forest one, it was probably more towards the back end of the game. It was starting to see a team that could see a result out. The fact that you've just pointed it, we didn't concede a goal against three of those teams. You know, for me,
all with a lot to play for. Absolutely. I mean, Brentford may be the exception there, I guess, towards the end. But Forest was the biggest game of their season. Liverpool, you'd have to say, was the biggest game of their season, because every game, when you're fighting for the title, is Merseyside derby. You know, them two games in particular, they weren't dead rubbers for the opposition. They were huge games for them. For them not to score in those games.
Absolutely, guys. But also, in all three of the games, when you looked at their bench as well, you know, coming on, what we've had to go with for the week, you know, the injuries as well to Beto and Calvert-Lewin not being in on Saturday. Fair play to him, mate. You've got to give him the credit where it's due, and the squad, the players. Yeah. I'm in a much better place myself, you know, about it. But I just think it's been, for the club as a whole, it's what we needed as a club. Yeah. You know, and now we've got to push on and move forward, you know, and I think we'll talk about the next few results, but, you know, I don't want it to be a typical Everton thing, like we're safe now and we'll kind of, you know, get beyond our holidays. I think we've got a lot more to fight for as a club, you know, over the coming weeks, because every position we finish in, you know, bring extra money in, you know, it'll put us in a better state moving forward. But fair play to them players, mate. You know, we've challenged them, you know, we've questioned them, you know, and they all stood up for me.
Yeah, I agree, and we're going to come on to the manager in a moment, but I think just stressing the point you've just made then, I think it'd be huge for him and his staff, because if we do just peter out and we lose to Luton and we lose to Sheffield United and, you know, get smashed by Arsenal last game, it'll be like, oh, can't be arsed with this. Don't want another year of this, you know, mediocrity of just being happy, staying up. They'll be the types of statements that probably will follow the season, whereas if we go and beat Luton, or we go and beat Sheffield United. We maybe don't get a result at Arsenal because that's a lot to expect, but we go and make a good account of ourselves. The narrative changes, doesn't it? And I made the comments off air of saying our fans at the moment, you're either glass half empty, as in it's boring, you know, he's uninspiring, it's this and that, we've had this terrible run, or you're glass half full saying, well, you know what, he's put these strings of results together when we've needed it most, mm-hmm. i.e. after the first points deduction, at the end of the season when it really matters. That at the moment is what this club needs, is someone who's capable of getting the job done, sorry, and can encourage the players to roll the sleeves up when they need to.
Massively, yeah. And again, he proved it towards the back end of last year. We've had a wobble throughout this season with the points and the uncertainty of takeovers, stuff like that. But when it's come down to the fact when we really needed it, he's proved, you know, to us all. And it is proved in your results, isn't it? Maybe not so much in your performances, but I think I've said it every time I've been on. I'm not really bothered about the performance. It's about the results, you know.
Yeah.
To score 5 goals in the last 3 games, not concede against those 3 teams, you know, for me, tells a lot, you know, about what he's got out of that group, you know, mentally, physically, you know, tactically. And for me, it was the Liverpool one. Yeah, we rolled our luck a little bit, but we made Liverpool look pretty average. You know, we'll get on the counter, you know, all the time. We'll sit in, you know, and we'll come out and play to our strengths, you know, and that typified me, what we saw earlier on in the season from a Dyche, you know, team against... like a Liverpool side, type of Liverpool side, sorry, but, you know, again, I'm you know, it's like I fell back, you know, a little bit as well myself, because it's been tough as a fan the last couple of seasons, but I feel we're at a turning point now, and I honestly believe the next 2 games and how he pushes that group will get the fans even more on his side, you know, where we can go next, because... if Forest are getting their points reviewed this week, we've appealed, you know, it could even be better. We might get them points back, plus the 6 points, 9 points we've still got to play for. But I don't think he's going to take his foot off at me, Dyche. I think he's going to push them hard and he's going to go for it, and he's going to prove a point, you know, to the fans and the players.
And future owners, because that's it, isn't it? You come in as an owner and you go, well, let's see how they're going. Wow, what an end to the season that was. Why would we be looking at getting rid of him? Whereas, again, you could look at it and go, well, I'm reading social media. I can hear the noise around how negative it can be. I know under him, we want a clean slate.
Yeah.
I just think if you're a new owner, you want to come in and you want to make the right statement, don't you? And I think it depends on how these next few games go. That'll dictate what that statement could or should be. And I think that's, I'd be shocked if that wasn't the way that Dyche and his backroom staff were thinking about it.
No, absolutely. And I mean, one of the things I'm really positive about at the minute, going to Goodison for the Sheffield United game, not having to worry about, you know, other results, how it's going to affect. I mean, the lads were talking, me and my lads, Jose Geno, last night we were talking about it. I said, well, are we going to get a few flares? Are we going to, you know, we're going to go and enjoy the last game? Because I can't remember the last time.
I mean, the players as well, like, you don't underestimate. And it's like I constantly talk about football being just a job for some of these people. Going into work every day with negativity hanging over you and pressure, that's not an environment to get the best out of people, is it? It's not a high-performance environment, if you like. And I think so many of them have been carrying the weight of the world around with them in training and games. Some of them players may be going to the next game, let's enjoy this now.
Yeah.
Go forward, let's try and be exciting, let's get the fans off the seat, in that, you know, particularly in that Sheffield United game at home.
We maybe could
see a little bit of a, okay, this is what the future might look like if you start the season just on an even keel with the rest of them. You know, it's just those against you. There's none of that. You know, we might be getting deducted points. There's none of that. We're going into administration, hopefully. So again, I think it's really interesting. I said this off air. What the psychologically how these players now approach the next few games? If they just literally go, we're done, we're down tools. Again, I'd just be like, I've always got no faith in that.
I can't see it, guys, to tell you the truth. I can't.
You've enjoyed the wins, haven't you? Do you know what I mean?
I can see it in the way he's got the group moving in the right direction. You know, we've had to make a few changes. Ben Godfrey being as big as critical season and the season before. But he's really stepped up. The transformation in him, you know, has been brilliant. And I think he's had a run of games where everything's gone right. And I'm absolutely made up for him. Because before that, we've had everything we've tried to change and tweak hasn't gone so well, you know. So I think, again, with you, a bit of luck. I mean, I've enjoyed the fun of listening to Liverpool fans the last few days. Brilliant. It's more about them and how they've dealt with a bit of adversity. But it's been good, and I do think that'll reflect in the next few games with the players. Yeah. You know, they'll have that level, higher level of confidence going out, you know, not worrying about other fixtures or other results, stuff like that, and have a different mindset to it. But listen, they're on a bit of a wave, let them ride, yeah. You know what I mean? Let's see what more we can push them for. But excited to see what they're like against Luton.
Yeah.
Because I certainly wouldn't be wanting to do anyone else any favours.
No.
Because, you know, I think based on the last two seasons, there's a lot of teams, you know, pushed to get a result against us when we were in trouble, yeah. You know. So, but I guess that's the nature of the game. Mm. And again, just really happy that we're in this position, you know, with yeah. them set of results. And honestly, really credit goes to the manager and the players. But we still want to see more, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. We want more. Well, just before we move on and stuff, I just want to talk briefly about the two games that have gone this week. We recorded an instant match reaction. It was pointless in the end because I had no mics. You can hardly hear it. But I thought, you know what, staying out there because I want something on yeah. there at least after that game. Again, apologies for anyone who commented saying I can't hear you. I'm not even going to apologise for. I have apologised just then, but I'm not going to do it again. I mean, what a win that was. I mean, not only for that team and that manager and the situation they were in, but the context of everything, how long it's been since we won a derby at Goodison, 10 years. You know, Klopp's records, which has been remarkable since he's been Liverpool manager. In fact, it meant so much to them. And let's just touch for a moment, because we are an Everton podcast, and I'm not going to pay them any lip service whatsoever. How bad were their fans? How bad were their fans? And it was a defeat. It was like
talking about their fans on Sky. That's what it was like.
Well, the fans in the ground first.
Yeah. They were poor, weren't they?
They were as poor as the players, I thought. And I thought the players picked up on almost how little belief the fans had in them. It wasn't like normally they torment us the whole games, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't won a trophy.
I'll be honest, I probably heard them for about 5 minutes in the game. That was it. But I think that's probably the way we played.
Yeah.
Frustrated them. And when we were on top, you know, albeit a few decisions off ref and VAR and stuff, we could have been 2 or 3 goals in front.
You're right.
I can't remember a game when at home when, you know, the referee was on our, not so much on our side, but we picked up so many early free kicks. Yeah. That's normally the other way around.
Our players played that so well and they played it so badly. Like the amount of soft fouls Curtis Jones made, and it was just, he was, you know, he's a scouser, he's keen to try and say, you know, enforce himself on the game or whatever, but the amount of times, a little push in the back or a little kick, and we were riding, you know, we were literally going, well, I'll take that, I'll go down, and it was like, it was daft.
Yeah.
And I think,
because normally when we approach them games, it's always on the front foot, and it's the first tackle, it's the, and I get it, and we've kind of been brought up on watching that, you know, in Derby, especially in the home games, it's important to get the first on the front foot and stuff like that, but yeah, he played it really well, and the quality in the crossing, the corners,
where it matters,
was complete polar opposite to the games before.
Yeah,
and we punished them, absolutely punished them. I was disappointed in Van Dijk's comments at the end about, like, you know, looking in the mirror and stuff. You've just been dominated by two centre halves and a centre forward. I think you probably need to concentrate on defending, you know, your 6 yard box, because between you and your back line. You know, Dom's probably, for me, played the best game of the season.
Oh, he was superb.
And he was immense.
And just on that one briefly, because, again, it's a whole glass half full, half empty thing. You start thinking, well, why have we not seen that more from him? I honestly believe, and I don't think it's a revelation here, I think he's been playing at 80% for so long, thinking, I know they've pushed my body to this point here, I'm going to get injured. And whether you call that a psychological flaw, of going, well, you can't think like that and you can't play like that, or whether he just knows his body so well. But I think he thought the other night, you know what, if I put my best performance in here and we win this game, I've got to sum it off probably then, because I can let my body recover. Obviously, we didn't see him at the weekend, which was perfectly acceptable and understandable. But I genuinely think he thought, you know what, I can put 100% in here. I mean, we've said it before, but that leap, how high he gets up, and now he seems to like hang in the air, doesn't he? And but the amount of times he was first to the ball, the amount of times he just got his body and won a free kick, the amount of times he won the first ball, you know, from headers.
I think he knew in the first 15 minutes he's got these.
He was there for the taking.
I'll take them down the side, I can hold them up, I'll beat them in the air, I'll take the fouls off them. They couldn't handle them.
No.
You know, two very well, you know, established, you know, international centre-backs. Probably come up against something they've not really had to deal with much. So fair play to him, and I do agree with you. I do think he's been playing, you know, below. And I think the minutes seems to be predictable when he's coming off 70, 80 minutes all the time. But he, for me the other night, it was like, he knew what he was going to get out of them, so couldn't have took him off. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because it was successful.
Yeah.
He had them run ragged for me, especially with crosses and, you know, when he was trying to get down the channel. None of them wanted to run with him. They couldn't cope with him.
Just briefly a nod to the medical team, because obviously, you know, he hasn't been the player goal return wise that we've wanted or needed. We've got to say that he's missed a lot of chances at times, but let's make no mistake about it. If he hadn't been on the pitch the minutes that he'd been on the pitch this season, we wouldn't be talking about the team going into the last three games with a little bit of breathing space, would we?
I'd probably say no, but you know, I think the way we've performed with him at times, it's either, you know, we've been too far away from him, but the other night it just clicked everything. And I think for me, the early results in the season when we were successful, it was because the ball was getting in quicker. Mm. We reverted back to it. Pickford weren't taking too much time on the ball. Everything was done like with no risk for me. He made his decisions early. He took the risk out of the back four. He didn't play into their hands by trying to play out. Mm. And it clicked. But then he took that into Saturday as well. And you could see that game plan, you know, that mentality shift. Even though we didn't play Saturday, you could still see comparisons in, like, it was less risky here in the first day. Let's just get it into the middle and the final day. But I can't compliment them enough. Even the subs, you know, the timing of the subs when Young come on, I was a little bit like, is he the right one? Got it absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
Absolutely spot on.
I agree. And just briefly on Pickford, obviously I've been, from Everton's standpoint, one of his biggest critics, certainly across the podcast. And it's not, again, just to be clear, and I've said it a million times, it's not that I don't think he's an immensely talented goalkeeper, and the saves he's made at times that are like, wow, what a save that is. I'm not taking that away from him. It's just, as you say, some of the basic stuff that he disregards or thinks that he's almost too good to do. He threw that out the window the last three games, and he thought, I need to be a player for this team. Now, I think too often he plays for himself. He thinks, I'm too good. I don't want to look like I can only kick it long. I want to show I can play that diagonal ball, play that 20, 30-yard ball. He played for the team the last few games. He thought, you know what? And that's what a goalie should do for me.
I don't want
to bring it back to criticising him. I just wish he would look at himself as going, I play for Everton. I'm not playing for England now. I'm not playing as Jordan Pickford. I'm playing as the goalie for Everton. And what, how he's played in the last three games, I don't think he's played in the league that could have played as well as that.
But again, the goals, you know, non-conceded.
He's made
some big saves.
Massive saves,
I think it's come down to me keeping it more simple
for me
in goal. You know, not taking, you know, sometimes you see him just in line with the centre-halves and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's taking free kicks on the halfway line. Mm. You're like, come on, you know, a bit of common sense behind that. But again, fair point. I mean, I've not criticised them. I've judged them. You know, all season around like that. Just keep it simple. Put more confidence into your back four. And thankfully, he's done that the last three games.
I
wouldn't say it's much some coincidence. We've said it, but it looks better.
When
you're watching it.
The back four have been, I mean, the back four for me, you've been almost faultless the whole season. You've had the odd game, you know, the Chelsea game and others where, you know, there's a few individual errors, but the level of consistency they've shown, obviously different right backs have come in, but the three of those four have pretty much been the mainstay all season.
Yeah.
Now, Mikhailenko, he seems to have a better start to the season, but I think in fairness to him, I think he's probably been the same the whole way through. We were just so surprised and taken back by how much he improved physically at the start of the season. He looked too light last season. He was getting bullied all over the place. You could see he worked on himself. He bulked up a little bit during the summer. And it was almost like we were so taken back by how well he played that it made us think that he'd gone off the boil because he hadn't kept getting better. Mm. But I think in fairness to him, he's been defensively, he's been solid. The two centre-backs, I mean, how can you know, I don't think we could buy two better centre-backs right now for this team.
I couldn't disagree with you.
As a pair, you know, you've got a leader in Tarkowski who's the best captain we've had since Jags, the best leader we've had in that position since him. And that's high praise from me because I thought he's one of the best centre-backs I've ever seen for Everton. And Branthwaite, again, for me, is a better player now by a mile than what John Stones was when he was at Everton. And again, that's high praise because he's one of the best.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Better defender all round.
Yeah.
You know, I think with Stones, we were a little bit unsure what position he played when he came in. But for me, you know, I couldn't compliment them two enough. Mm. But he has, you know, he's had a solid base to work from. I think the next layer up is probably where he's had his most challenges. But for me, they're being consistent. The last three games, no goals conceded. I mean, if this was City we were talking about, or someone in the top four, we'd be banging on. Three good results, maybe not winning nice like yesterday City, but
would the top teams get praised for that? You're winning ugly.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
When it's Everton, it's like, well, you've
dogs of war, you know, that type of stuff. But no, honestly, go back to it. I think the Liverpool game, I mean, it's still that like outside feel we had of it. Like, we just beat Liverpool 2-0 at home. You know, we were fighting for the league. And all we got to see in the press was about, you know, Klopp.
Van Dijk's comments.
About Liverpool's season falling apart. And you're like, come on. You're just being beat 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, at least give a little bit of time, you know, to the Everton, you know, staff who've done well to get them where they are. Praise for Dijk. But I think he's quite happy to go under the radar.
Yeah,
I've quite happily watched them stew the last few games. But
just on that one as well, one thing that I thought was really classy, you don't hear that often, that way very often with Sean Dyche. Didn't come on the pitch after the Liverpool game. You just thought, this was the players, this. Stepped away. I think he just gave a little clap and then went down the tunnel. And I thought that was a nice touch, that, because, you know, we've had managers in the past ourselves. Very recently we had Lampard, who gives it the big, and when they've just won a game. And the fans, you know, some of the fans got the wool pulled over their eyes with that. And it's like, yeah, he loves us and he gets us. But I thought that was a nice touch, that, to just walk off the pitch and go, do you know what? This is for the players and the fans, and let them enjoy it.
I mean, again, the tracksuit thing
probably
as well.
Probably go in the bar, like.
He's probably run downstairs, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I don't know, something's clicked in the last three games, you know, whether it's, you know, he's saying about, what can we do to change, what can we do? That's refreshing, do you know what I mean? Because he doesn't know everything. You know, he's learning with this group as he goes. But the simplest little things, like a tracksuit, you know, some of the little things that they're changing, I think he's starting to show me, you know, more confidence in that. Well, if he's got better players, we probably got something here with him, you know, and he will become, you know, something more of what we want out of a manager, maybe. But time's going to tell, innit? But I still think the next two fixtures, there's a really good opportunity for him to show that with the players, and the players as well, to keep the fans with them.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to move on to the next two fixtures in a moment. Just before we do, just a word from our other sponsors, Tick Property Group.
Tick Property Group are your local Liverpool-based estate agents with over 300 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. By selling your home now for an unbeatable offer of £497, your home will be advertised across all major portals, including Rightmove and Zoopla. You will also receive professional photography, floor plans, and a bespoke stylish video tour of your home. So take the stress out of selling and let Tick Property Group be your personal estate agent. Book your free valuation today and quote Across the Park to receive a 10% fee discount.
And there you go. If you're looking for a winning combination like Sean Dyche's last three victories, then get across to Tick Property Group if you're looking to sell your property in the coming months. Again, appreciate all the feedback we've had from our followers and subscribers who've already used them. And again, they've had some great success in the market. So please give them a shout. There's a link in our socials bio. So if you go on Instagram, if you click on the link tree, you'll see their page on there. So give them a look. So Cole, just before we move on to the upcoming fixture, just to briefly touch on the victory at the weekend that got us over the line. That was against Brentford. Particularly tricky one, given that it's almost like after the Lord Mayor's parade or whatever they say, and you know, you've just won the derby. That was the game that everyone thought, wow, this, we're done now. But it was still, we still had to get over the line by beating Brentford or getting a result against Brentford. We had no Calvert-Lewin, we had no Beto. So Chimiti comes in for his first start in the league, was it? If it wasn't his first. Oh, no, he played half, I think, somewhere else. But again, I think I'm fairly
certain. He's been limited, hasn't he?
Yeah, massively limited, yeah. But I think he's had more minutes in that game, I've seen, than he had in the previous 10 combined or something like that. So again, it was a massive, not a gamble, but it was certainly a game where you're thinking, it's going to be tough, this. I mean, he's done okay, the lads, didn't he? And again, it was you said to me, it was in your words before we started recording, it's as comfortable as we've looked in a game in a long time.
Look, they were up for it again. I couldn't fault them, you know, the way they approached the game. You know, don't get me wrong, there was moments where you're like, oof, they could, you know, they got in maybe once or twice, but that's no different from the last couple of games. And I thought they looked fresh enough to get a result out of them. And like the Shimizu one. I think if you roll back and the confidence is a bit lower, we don't know. You know, it's probably a mistake putting him in. You'd probably pull, you know, Dan Juma in or someone that. But I can't fault him. I really can't. I thought the way they approached the game, they didn't, you know, like you're saying, the Lord Mayor's approach to it, the attitude of like being a little bit more relaxed. They had a purpose. They looked like they wanted to go out and actually win it and get a result. You know, they knew that that one would get them over the line, which it has. But again, for me, I watched the game and it looked not comfortable, but it looked like, you know what?
It looked like a team with a plan. I'm with you there. For the first time in a while, I mean, that's been the biggest criticism about the home games. They look a little bit out of ideas. Mm. How do we actually get at these? How do we create chances? You're kind of creating chances by hook or crook. But you're right. I think they went about it with a bit of purpose. Like, we know now. We've got a bit of a blueprint. If we're aggressive in the final third, if we get the ball there early enough, get crosses in the box, get men in there, you know, play off them second balls, which is almost kind of where the guy goal come from. You know, we will cause teams problems, and we've done it to one of the best teams in the league. All right, it was a derby. We've had that way of playing against them. We can do it against anyone.
Yeah. And with Brentford away from home, they've seen better results. You know, they've come out and played a bit more freedom. But I thought they'd done fantastically well. At no point in that game, other than maybe the Tony chance, I thought they've got a chance of scoring here. But I was like, I was confident enough that if we scored, we could get another one as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think when we got into the final third, as you said then, we look to have a bit more, like an extra bit of wind in the sails. You know, we're willing to work a little bit more off the ball as well as on it. And we had more ideas, and they've probably built a bit more confidence, guys, around the box and in the box. And for Garnacay to score 2-2, you know, I would never have scripted that. You know, but fair play to him, and he was colossal in the derby.
Oh, he was
really, really good on Saturday. But I guess, you know, confidence is a big factor there, isn't it? Two massive results, and each of the performances have just got stronger and stronger for me.
Yeah, and he's shown that kind of more, you know, more impetus and more, like, you know, more intention to get in the area and to get himself about there, pressing higher up the pitch. And I haven't got the heat maps, and we're not that type of podcast, but I think if you were to look at the average positions of the players, I'd be hazarding the best. I bet we've moved further and further up the pitch.
Yeah.
Certainly more progressive in that game. We were playing a lot higher. I guess that's a reflection of the opposition again, but the midfield line a lot more, were pressing a lot higher up the pitch, and Brentford found it difficult at times to get out.
We were getting the ball up earlier.
Yeah.
You know, again, we've done it in the last two games and it was successful. And I think they found that hard because they thought, well, let's leave them play out, you know, and we'll press them. But when we weren't playing out, you know, they've had to defend a bit deeper, you know, and they got a little bit, for me, they were poor at the back.
I thought they
were really poor.
They were.
You know, and I think if we had a Calvert-Lewin in there, you know, we probably could have punished them more. But I was gutted for Shimizu in the first half. That one where he gets in on, at the back post, I thought, come on, he just needed that little bit of luck. But I'm hoping to see more of him in the next couple of games as well, you know, and he gets his goal, you know, because on Saturday, I thought he made some really good runs.
I did.
We discussed before about Beto, to Beto, but you know, I think he's going to need minutes to see what he's going to look like.
Particularly in the way that, you know, we spoke about the way that we do set up and the way that the wingers play. It's very predictable. They know what they're doing. They know the type of runs the Calvert-Lewin make. They know how late Decore arrives in the area. You don't have to look up, and you know what it's like when you're playing a team and you're playing with the same personnel. The wings don't look up. They almost count 1, 2, 3 cross. And I'm either going back post or I'm cutting it back. You know, you had Shimizu just steaming towards the 6-yard box because that was his, you know, that's his instinct. Yeah. So I think, as you say, it needs a few games for the players to just get used to recognising that.
As mad as it sounds, his runs that he made into the 6-yard box, if you remember when Jelovic came, he done the same thing and he got success out of it.
Yeah.
And I think once they learn how to get the ball into the 6-yard box early, he might get a bit of success out
of it. Do you know what reminded me of, and more so the Saturday than anything else, Joe, remember Joe?
Yeah.
It was like that, he's got that gangly kind of style about him, but it's like he's a big lad. But he's not a big lad in a traditional sense, doesn't like back into the centre back. Well, he does, but he's not as effective at that. He wants to kind of be on the half turn, get in behind, get on the shoulder.
Yeah.
But I think we had Joe maybe around the same time as Jelovic, or maybe it was a different, but I remember when he played, I don't know if it was a Kubu or someone, but he was very different to the other striker as well. But it was like, you've got him, you've got to play slightly differently with him.
Yeah. play in and off him.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it'll be interesting how he gets on the next few games. But just to briefly come back to Garner Guy, and obviously how pleasing it's been for him to finish the season. I mean, what a servant he's been to the club in general over his two spells. I've said it so many times, he's not been the same player since he come back. He didn't have that same engine. He was maybe half a yard short of what he was in his first spell, but you can't ever question what the lad puts on the pitch, can you?
Oh, I mean, look, as when he was in the first spell, he was unbelievable. I think we played him right, you know, as a midfielder who broke play up and allowed the others to get on the ball. He's obviously come into a slightly different environment, and he in terms of how he saved the club, you know, he's probably demonstrated for me what we want from certain players with ethic, work ethic, you know, his attitude towards it. Look, he's not the type of player like Gomez, for example, who's going to win it and move the ball around, but it's that passion, it was that desire that gets the crowd on the feet a little bit more and shows a little bit more passion, maybe what the other lads should show, you know, off the ball. But I think, I mean, if he does leave at the end of the year, I think it'll be a big gap for us to fill. But, you know, if there's something that we can come to an agreement with him, is basically, you know...
To find that, Roy. Is it me or is it Colin? Someone's got to find that you.
I think it's me, But he's been a great servant, guys. He's done fantastic for us. And you know, he's probably someone we need to replace, but, you know, with similarities to the way he plays. Yeah. But he's been fantastic, hasn't he?
He seems such a popular man in the group as well. Like, you see him when he scored, everyone's round him, aren't they? The whole team. And again, I've got a feeling he's not going to be a player who gets offered a contract just because of the money. 33, maybe pushing on 34. How long has he really got? Maybe it's another season. You know, I wouldn't be disappointed to see him in another season. But again, if there's probably one of the players in the squad that was just made up to see get that goal and get, you know, the
two.
Recognition.
He scored two in his old spell. Last time round. But now he's getting, funny enough, he's getting in the right area as well.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, you spoke briefly, or you've touched on, sorry, I was going to apologise to Roy, by the way. I said fine for Roy. Roy's sitting there watching. It wasn't Roy's phone, it was Colin's phone. So sorry, Roy.
Apologies.
Roy's one of the producers, one of the owners of the Pod Cafe. So yeah, I'm in the doghouse at Roy now. So the two games coming up, I was saying two because the Arsenal one, it probably a different approach to that completely, but two games that on paper, when we were going into this run in, they were like, look, they're two very winnable games, two games that I was counting towards the points tally that we were going to get. Very different complexion to those games now, as you pointed out a few times. Luton's the first one. In order, obviously, we've got that coming up on Friday. How would you, we know how you want to approach it. You think, let's go out with confidence. Any changes in particular, any players you'd like to see come into that team?
I think he's going to be limited, isn't he? You know, what he's got available to him anyway.
Beto will be back, won't he?
He will be, but...
The concussion was 7 days, wasn't it? So he will be back. I haven't heard anything to say that it was more than concussion.
For me, I probably think more all-round, you know, for the defending set pieces, stuff like that. If Calvert-Lewin's available, I'd like to see Beto and Chimiti more in the Sheffield United game at home. I think... If he's available, you know, I think...
Calvert-Lewin, for me, I think it was just he'd ran himself into grounds against Liverpool, so I think it was just soreness after the Liverpool game, and I think everyone was more than happy to see him rested there. But, yeah, if he's available...
Definitely, and I think the only other one's the left-back position, innit? You know, what that looks like. But I can't really see him changing it much. You know, he's been, you know, consistent, hasn't he, with the way he sets them up, and... If they're available, they're playing, you know, and fair play to him how he's managing the minutes and stuff like that and recovery time. But listen, I think he'll go as strong as he can against Luton. And I think if Calvert-Lewin's fit, you know, I think we'll score. You know, a set piece will be a big one for us. But they're going to come out firing. They're going to look at this as a big win, big opportunity for them. But I think the form we're in, I think I fancy us. I do. Why wouldn't you? With the results we've had. But I think it's going to be a tricky one, because I think all teams who've gone there have found it tough. You know, the tight pitch and the atmosphere and the way they come out.
I don't know if that suits us. You know, I mean, I'm not saying the atmosphere doesn't, being up against it and against the cosh or whatever, but under the cosh, sorry. I think I've got a feeling he starts Gomez. You know,
to you.
I'm thinking about the makeup of their midfield, and they've almost got a luxury player in Barkley. And we know what Barkley's like. He's obviously a lot of ability, but he don't get much from him off the ball. But I think I think Dyche will almost be wanting to be keen to not allow them to have too much of the ball. I think we've got Gomez in there. He gives us them extra 3, 4, 5 passes just to kind of stem a little bit of the... I mean, he's done it against Chelsea, but he just come on, slowed it down, even though it only, you know, stems the flow for 20 minutes or whatever. I think he'd be tempted to put him in there just to settle things down a little bit. Because I think if you play at that electric pace, it's going to suit them. I don't know if it's going to, you know, play into their hands too.
For me, he's just got to keep approaching it the way he has. Sit in, play to your strengths and let them come on you and counter, you know, because defensively they're very poor.
They
concede a lot of goals, you know, so if we can approach it like that, you know, I think we get a good result out of it for me. But I keep saying it, just don't get beat.
Yeah,
you know, keep the momentum going.
That game is always the one for me, and regardless of whether they're out of it or in it, not getting beat there, I think just keeping that, as you say, keeping that momentum going, keeping the run going of undefeated. You know, if we keep a clean sheet there, I think if we keep a clean sheet, we win the game.
Yeah,
I think
definitely,
they're that poor. And I think that's almost the team talking it. Look, we keep a clean sheet tonight, we win, because there's no way they're getting through this without us having a chance. And I think given the fact we're playing without pressure, you'd like to think that there's going to be a bit more composure.
The two games we've played them in the league and the cup at home, we had to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got punished.
Yeah, we did.
They got in behind us very easily. So I think for me, again, just learning from the last few games, if we set up right, you know, nice and tight, sit in, play a bit of a counter, break them up, you know, I think we'll get success out of it. Because they're going to be desperate to get a result. So they're going to try and play in a certain way, which is, they've got to create, haven't they, to score. But like you're saying, if we get a clean sheet, I think we get a good result out of it, mate.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. We will be hopefully getting doing a preview, an opposition preview with a Luton podcast, which we're working on at the moment. So if we get that done, it'll probably be out on Wednesday or Thursday. So keep an eye out for that. But before that, Colin, I'm going to ask for a prediction from you for the
1-11.
1-11.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant. And you know what? I'm tempted to go with you, you know. Maybe even 2-0. I honestly think it'll be, as you've suggested, in terms of us sitting in, but in terms of the mentality going, look, let's keep that clean sheet again and then see where we go from there. But I think maybe 1-0, and then we pick them off with a few minutes to go and get a second. But that would be, you know, it'd be a brilliant result given how much is on the line for them. But we'll see. That's about all we got time for again. Massive thanks, Colin, for filling in. Milsey sends his apologies. He's having a bit of time off at the moment, but he's obviously enjoying that time off. I was with him over the weekend and he's in good spirits, but he'll be back on soon. So thanks for everyone who's messaged asking about him. And he's not gone anywhere. He's just, again, taking a bit of time off. And as I've said so many times, the podcast is a hobby for us, and you know, we've got our work and families and stuff, and he's prioritising that at the moment, so fair enough. I'll get some time off at some point. But yeah, thanks again, Colin, and thanks to everyone for tuning in. It's, as I said at the start, it's been a great time to be an Evertonian. Long may them good times continue. Hopefully we can, you know, move, as Colin said a few times, carry those results into the end of the season, and who knows where that can take us. But again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.